All right, folks, we're here at the Metropolitan Crime Commission Excellence in Law Enforcement Annual Awards Luncheon. We're going to go into the event right now.
I want to just go very quickly through a couple of stats with you, which our weekly crime bulletin, which we put out, demonstrate. Homicides down 39% this year versus last year, and down 50% since 2022. Shootings down 42% last year versus last year, and 52% since 2022. Carjackings 41% and 69%, and armed robbery down 35% and 55%. That is a real reflection on the performance of law enforcement the officers in this room and their agencies are having on crime. And please. Oh, believe me, we're going to be applauding law enforcement all day today. It's going to be beautiful. A great thing. So thank you all for doing that. And the entire criminal justice system, and really the entire community. You know, I think the state troopers, I think Captain Hyatt told me this recently, there's such a welcoming feeling throughout the city and in every neighborhood toward officers coming into the neighborhood, whether it's troopers or officers or DEA. They're all being welcomed by the neighborhoods, and that's just a great thing to see. We've gained a high level of community support through the performance. I want to say finally that we as the MCC, we really applaud the proactive policing that's happening right now. There's a great, great effort toward that proactive policing, which is having effect. There's state-of-the-art technology. You've got drones in the air. You have cameras through, state-of-the-art cameras. Thanks to the governor, we even have now a specially fit helicopter in the air. So that, thank you for that. So we appreciate that. That's been fantastic. The DA working now with the AG's office as well. We're seeing real consequences for violent offenders, which has been great. And then we've got these French Quarter sweeps going on. And really, as Rafi reminded me, they're citywide of all law enforcement agencies, federal combined with state, combined with local and regional, that are also having a real impact on crime. And, by the way, the French Quarter has really been, if you haven't been down there lately, you should go back. It is really great to see the crown jewel coming back, being cleaned up. It's fantastic. And a lot of that's due to law enforcement. And there's this great collaboration now between federal, state, regional, local law enforcement, which is really proud to see, and thank you for that. So we'll spend some time on that today, too. Finally, we all know we need more cops. We know we need more troopers. We know we need more prosecutors. And I just want to assure you that the Metropolitan Crime Commission, I know Rafi and his team and the entire board, all of us, will continue to support law enforcement in that effort, always calling for more resources, always calling for more and more of everything for law enforcement to make sure they can do their jobs, to make this region a really safe place to live, work, and raise a family. So thank you all to law enforcement. Now, before moving on to our program, I just want to thank a few individuals for organizing today's event. Last year, by the way, was our highest grossing event ever, by far. This year, we've increased over last year by 40%, and we have 700 people here today, by the way, over 700 people. So thank you for that. Total sellout. Really, again, demonstrating the community support. And we've got an outstanding staff, great board, and fantastic co-chairs. I want to ask our two co-chairs for today that really put this together, Ashby Navarro and Cliff Laborde. Can you all please take a stand? And please stay standing. Ashby, Cliff Welling. I know they're here. Yeah, that's Cliff. Ashby, stay standing for a minute. Thank you all very much. I also, our A-team that put this together, the team, Antoinette, great job, Nett. Please stand. Michelle, John, Molly, and Steph, please stand. And with our outstanding board of directors, who are tireless and so supportive, could each one of you please stand? Thank you all very much. Thank you. And we thank our sponsors. If you look at today's program, you can see a listing of the sponsors. But we thank all of our sponsors who have been incredible and make our work possible. Also, we have a lot of organizations as well that fund, and individuals and families that fund our research projects. And we thank you for that. We're truly grateful for that funding of those programs. Thank you. I've said all along about that funding that this region has the most generous and most effective civic and most tireless, hardworking civic and business community in the country by far. So thank you all for that. Okay. Now I'd like to introduce our head table. So we have our special agent in charge, Lionel Merthel, here with us today. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you, sir. And then we have Rafi Garnetschi, our CEO and president. We have Jason Williams, our DA. Thank you, Jason. Good seeing you. The Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office, of course. And we have Sheriff Lapinto, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office here with us today. So that's our table, and you'll be hearing from each one of them today as well. And, of course, we have Governor Jeff Landry here with us, whom we'll, of course, hear from today as well. So thank you all for that. Yeah. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce our leader, our CEO, really the community's watchdog. He's also a Saints and Tigers prognosticator. I think there's a rumor out there you're going to be the next Saints head coach. So we'll see how that bears out, but I think you could do it. Anyway, my good friend, good friend, and Rafi Garnetschi, who always tells it like it is. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Rafi.
Thank you, Greg, and welcome, everybody. This is our annual Excellence in Law Enforcement Award. We're just entering the most important portion of this meeting, recognizing what law enforcement has done. And we've got quite the lineup for you. So let me, get this moving along by talking about why we do this. So we're here to celebrate and recognize the remarkable achievements of our well-deserving awardees whose actions make this community a better place to live and raise our families. These awardees largely work in anonymity. They epitomize professionalism and dedication to public service, as well as their spirit of collaboration and coordination between agencies. Their sense of honor and commitment to holding violent offenders accountable has enhanced public safety throughout this community. We hope the outstanding accomplishments of those that we're about to honor today will serve to motivate us all to achieve greater things in 2025 and beyond. Lastly, I want to acknowledge any crime victims and their families and advocates who are in attendance. We recognize that your lives have been forever impacted by crime and know that some of you are still fighting for justice. As Greg said, we want you to know that the MCC is here to support and assist you in your pursuit for accountability and justice. So now let me tell you about our first group of awardees. On June the 28th of 2024, a Washington Parish jury took less than 30 minutes to find 21-year-old Andrew Purnell guilty of his 2021 violent crime spree. Purnell was held accountable for his murderous rampage due to the hard work and coordination of today's awardees that include the Bogalusa Police Department, Louisiana State Police, and the 22nd Judicial District Attorney's Office, which is Washington and St. Tammany Parish. It all started on August the 23rd of 2021, when Purnell murdered Bogalusa High School senior Aaron Broussard as he walked home from school. Officers with the Bogalusa Police Department found the high schooler lying down on the ground, surrounded by spent shell casings. The next chapter in Purnell's violent crime spree came 3 weeks later, on September the 15th, when he used an AK-47 in a drive-by shooting. Purnell fired 18 rounds into a house on Main Street, where several adults and young children were inside. Miraculously, no one was injured. Purnell didn't stop there, though. A few days later, on September the 20th, he laid in wait on Main Street and fired 9 shots at a 13-year-old as he stepped off the school bus to go home. The boy was critically injured. Although he survived, he required extensive rehabilitation and had to learn to walk again. After shooting that young man, Purnell sped off but crashed his car a few blocks away. The Bogalusa Police Department quickly responded and arrested Purnell. A search of the area uncovered a 9mm handgun that Purnell had tossed into the woods. Members of the Louisiana State Police assisted the investigation and in processing the forensic evidence that was critical to bring this individual to justice. Ballistics confirmed that the gun found in the woods was used to shoot the boy. DNA analysis revealed the presence of Purnell's DNA on the retrieved handgun. A search warrant for Purnell's residence uncovered an AK-47 in his bedroom. A ballistics expert with Louisiana State Police confirmed that the gun was used in the Main Street drive-by shooting. Detectives also seized Purnell's cell phone, which had incriminating messages on it. The messages revealed that he utilized straw man purchases on the rifles that were used both in the student's murder and in the drive-by shooting. Purnell's cell phone messages confirm that he told an individual that he needed those weapons because I kill people. Other text messages obtained from the cell phones by law enforcement help the prosecutors to prove that Purnell sold one of the weapons in an attempt to dispose of it, but detectives were able to track it, retrieve it, and do ballistics tests, further linking him to crimes perpetrated with that firearm. Detectives also seized the phone of an accomplice that assisted Purnell. Messages recovered from that phone laid out the cold-blooded plan to shoot someone after class ended on that day and dispose of the weapon. During a 5-day trial, prosecutors from the 22nd Judicial District called 27 witnesses while meticulously piecing together the compelling evidence against the defendant. Purnell continued to display his disregard and contempt for the law throughout the trial, and he attempted to intimidate witnesses testifying against him by making obscene gestures to them during the trial and also forming his hands in the shape of a gun in an attempt to intimidate another witness. In less than 30 minutes, the jury convicted Purnell of second-degree murder, attempted second-degree murder, conspiracy to commit second-degree murder, and assault by a drive-by shooting. Purnell laughed aloud in response to the verdict. The judge sentenced him to life, followed by a 50-year consecutive sentence. This murder would never have been brought to justice without the collective efforts of this dedicated team of investigators, forensic examiners, and prosecutors. It's my privilege and honor to recognize the outstanding work performed by this group. So as I call your name, please step forward. Once you receive your award, return to your seats. We're going to take pictures after the meeting. So from the Bogalusa Police Department, I'd ask Major David Miller to step over to my left to receive your award, Sergeant Tyler Lindsay and Lieutenant Casey Hidalgo. Please step forward. From the Louisiana State Police, Investigator Stephen Montgomery, and Forensic DNA Supervisor Ryan O'Leary. Also from the State Police, Certified Firearms Examiners Chelsea Richardson and Cheryl Swearington.
All right, folks, we're going to get to a break right now. We'll be right back to the Metropolitan Crime Commission's Excellence in Law Enforcement Annual Awards Luncheon. Stay with us. All right, folks, we are back at the Metropolitan Crime Commission's Excellence in Law Enforcement Annual Awards Luncheon. Let's go back in live to the presentation. They're talking about Operation Clean House Task Force.
Illegal narcotics, including fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine. Then phase 2, focused on fugitive apprehension. During the planning phase, partner agencies submitted over 400. Every agency was able to submit their own, you know, targets of fugitives that were terrorizing areas. And they submitted over 400 outstanding arrest awards, which were then vetted by intelligence analysts who determined if the warrant was still active, whether the subject was already incarcerated or deceased. The list was narrowed down to the most violent offenses, and the warrants divided among multi-agency teams to make the arrest. In phase two, 77 arrests were made on warrants, which included arson, assault by drive-by shooting, aggravated battery, and attempted murder. The operation successfully executed 100% of the warrants, and 11 firearms were seized. Ultimately, Operation Clean House's successful results came down to clearly the integration between the intelligence and operational components, which ensured a smooth flow of information and great collaboration between law enforcement and local communities. Again, neighborhood cooperation and assistance. Although Operation Clean House has ended for right now, for that month, federal, state, and local law enforcement partners have vowed to continue to fight violent crime in New Orleans area and across Louisiana, so we can see more of these programs going forward. As the MCC's weekly crime trend reports, we talked about that earlier, have documented throughout this year, Orleans Parish has seen a significant downward trend in homicide, shootings, carjackings, and armed robberies. The reduction in crime achieved since June can be attributed in large part to the work of this operation and the continued commitment to public safety performed by these agencies. So, will the agency head or designee please step forward when your agency's name is called to receive your award? And wait till you hear the numbers of this. ATF New Orleans, DEA New Orleans, FBI New Orleans, Harbor Police Department, Homeland Security Investigation New Orleans, Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, Louisiana Attorney General's Office, Louisiana Probation and Parole, Louisiana State Police, New Orleans Police Department, Orleans Levy District Police Department, Orleans Sheriff's Office, Slidell Police Department, St. Bernard Sheriff's Office, the St. John Sheriff's Office, St. Tammany Sheriff's Office, Tulane University Police Department, U.S. Attorney's Office, Eastern District of Louisiana, U.S. Custom and Border Protection, New Orleans Air and Marine Branch, U.S. Marshal Service, Eastern District of Louisiana. Thank you all for a job incredibly well done. Just amazing collaboration and putting all that together. Just great, great work. Thanks, Rafi.
All right. I just told you about what an 18-year-old did in Washington Parish 2 years ago. Let me tell you about what an 18-year-old did in New Orleans 2 years ago. So in the spring of 22, Tyrone Steele, as an 18-year-old, perpetrated an unimaginable series of ruthless murders, resulting in the loss of 5 lives. His conviction resulted from the dedication, professionalism, and perseverance of today's awardees from the New Orleans Police Department and the New Orleans District Attorney's Office. Steele's killing spree began on March the 21st, of 2022, when officers responded to a call of a shooting incident inside a house on Encampment Street. At the scene, the officers discovered the bullet-riddled bodies of 27-year-old Darren Williams, 24-year-old Nehemiah Jones, and 21-year-old Amaya Cornyn. NOPD investigators reviewed surveillance footage from a crime camera that showed that the two suspects later identified as Tyrone Steele and Shane Brown, were looking outside the house for hours before entering the home. Williams was murdered on a sofa with at least 18 gunshot wounds to the head. And Jones and Corwin were each shot multiple times while hiding in a bedroom. The killings were brutally efficient, with the perpetrators inside the house only for a few moments. The cameras also captured the murderers leaving the scene on foot and connected them to a Nissan Altima fleeing the scene. Investigators determined that the likely motive for the killing stemmed from an argument weeks earlier in which Tyrone Steele and his murder victim, Darren Williams, exchanged gunfires on the street in the city of New Orleans. Social media exchanges between Steele and his accomplice, Shane Brown, revealed that the two had planned to kill everyone in the home to eliminate any potential witnesses. Sadly, this was not the end, as bodies of two other murdered individuals soon surfaced that were also tied to Steele. On the same day as the grim discovery on Encampment Street, detectives found an 18-year-old body, Donald McNeil, in an abandoned house. A tip informed the police that that Steele was the last person seen with McNeil, and they were able to document that Steele was using McNeil's cell phone after he was reported missing. A week after the Encampment Street homicide, Steele's alleged accomplice, Shane Brown, was also reported missing. Investigators obtained a warrant to search Brown's Nissan Altima that was documented leaving the Encampment Street scene at the time of the triple homicide. When they located his vehicle parked in an apartment complex, it was visibly soaked with blood. Brown's body was found the following day in a canal near Morrison Road. The autopsy confirmed that Brown was murdered shortly after the triple homicide, and that the bullets recovered from his body matched the ones recovered from the Encampment Street murder victims. After the team of investigators painstakingly weaved together the facts and critical evidence from multiple homicides at multiple crime scenes, they obtained a warrant to arrest Steele. After a two-week manhunt, he was taken into custody. After his arrest, members of the New Orleans District Attorney's Office were given the monumental task of prosecuting this complex case. During a week-long trial in March of 2024, prosecutors from the DA's office presented compelling evidence linking Steele to these murders using ballistics, DNA evidence, surveillance footage, and social media posts. The case illuminated the sheer inhumanity of Steele's actions. Throughout the trial, Steele showed no remorse for his vicious series of crimes, which involved stalking and mutilating his murdered victims in a manner reminiscent of scenes from a horror movie. The jury deliberated only 45 minutes before unanimously finding Steele guilty of multiple murders. Subsequently, Steele received a mandatory life sentence that his crimes commanded. This serial murder was ultimately brought to justice by this group of dedicated investigators and prosecutors. It's my privilege and honor to recognize their outstanding work in this case. From the NOPD, we'll ask you to step over to my right, Sergeant Robert Barry, Detectives Ryan O'Quinn, Nicholas Davis, and Walter Edmond. From the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office, Assistant District Attorneys Corbin Bates and Corey Tasson, Trial Assistant Dana DeMole, Investigators Elizabeth Garcia and Aaron Washington, and Victim Advocate Natasha Childress. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen, for a fine job. So indulge me for a second before we get to our guest speakers, but I just wanted to tie this together. So you've just heard who we've bestowed these awards to. And the common theme in this meeting and with these awardees is you have law enforcement agencies from the South Shore, from the North Shore. You have federal task force members that include federal, state, and local. You have suburban sheriff's deputies all coming together to attack crime in the metropolitan New Orleans area. And some of the criminals that are committing crimes in one parish also hopscotch into other parishes. So what we've talked about in this meeting is the remarkable decreases in crime that have been accomplished over the past 2 years. And the work that was done in all of the cases that we just presented to you today is being done every day by every agency throughout this state, throughout this country. And this is, I think, a testament that law enforcement realizes that they're never going to have the numbers to be able to address the crime wave that we've been experiencing and adequately deploy resources. So what they're doing is they're strategically combining their collective efforts, and every one of these cases is an example of how the sum of the parts is greater than the individual agencies that are conducting one aspect of this. So only by collectively doing this can we continue to achieve the results that we're receiving, and law enforcement recognizes it. So I think it's critically important. On everyone's table, we've got a little card. And this card came via an idea or suggestion of an NOPD officer during COVID. And at the time, one of his friends was working in Seattle. And after, during the COVID and the George Floyd movement, there were a lot of protests. And the NOPD officer called me to say that his friend in Seattle, one day after weeks of unimaginable events that law enforcement was dealing with in Seattle, one day he said someone came up to the officer and gave him a card and said, "Officer, thank you." So he suggested we do that down here. And we've been disseminating these cards since 2020. So we just acknowledged our appreciation for the investigators and prosecutors and forensic support staff. Here's an opportunity for you. Anytime you see someone in uniform, you don't have to say anything. Take these cards. We have plenty more in the office. Just put it in their hand, nod, and say thank you for what you're doing. That, I can't tell you how important that is to law enforcement. So I would say that let's practice this right now, right here, today. So anybody that works in the criminal justice system, investigators, prosecutors, support staff, I'd ask you to stand up and allow us to thank you for your service with our applause. So please stand up. Thank you, Greg. It's yours.
Beautiful thing, seeing all that law, all the wonderful law enforcement officers here today. Thank you all. So next part of the program, it's a real honor to introduce our governor, Jeff Landry. Now, I knew Jeff Landry when he was in Congress and when he was AG. But we only spoke from time to time, didn't speak a whole lot, always supportive, but not too much. You know, we never spoke a whole lot, right, before you became governor. And then he was elected governor. And he appointed me and some others here today, Paul, David, I'll see you all, to the New Orleans Transition Council and some others here that are here today as well. And we went up to Baton Rouge, you know, and we had these very open and candid discussions.
And every single plan that we put forward, we had been asking for decades. And every plan we came up with and said, Governor, will you please do this? He said, oh, I'm already there. I'm already there. I'm going to do it. I've done that. We're going to do it. So he was already delivering everything we were asking for. And we asked for it, every single one of those requests, right, Paul, David? Every request we asked for in that transition council, the governor did. So, and that really has, not just on crime, I mean on sewage and water board and other things as well, and the efforts on crime have really saved lives and improved public safety, I mean, really dramatically. And and he's not just helping on the crime front, making the city of New Orleans safer for all of us. He also is helping throughout the city. Let's take the Super Bowl. I know Michael Heck's here today. And by the way, great appointment of Heck. You know, we're helping. We're helping. So don't worry. But anyway, great appointment of Michael Heck. There you are, Michael. Great appointment as Super Bowl coordinator. And we're all working with Michael and working on the Louisiana Super Bowl effort, joined with the Sports Foundation and with New Orleans and Company to make sure this is a total success. And you see the improvements everywhere. I'm sure, Governor, as you come into the city, you hear regularly, you see the improvements just spreading all over the place because of your efforts and your work with Michael and work with the entire community to make this knock it out of the park for the Super Bowl. And those efforts, by the way, those changes that you see, they're long-lasting. They're not just here for the Super Bowl. They're going to stay. And then finally, I have just one other comment that I want to make on a personal side regarding the governor. So I had the honor and privilege last week of being with the governor overseas. And I have to tell you, it's someone you probably don't want to travel with because the work ethic is just absolutely off the charts. The work ethic, the drive, the passion is just relentless looking after this state. And he's outstanding on the global stage. And he's ready to chase business anywhere and everywhere, and it's exactly what he's doing. I just want to tell you that he and Sharon just love Louisiana. And we're very proud to have him here and very proud to have you here today, sir. So please, come on up. Thank you, Governor.
Well, doesn't it feel like a new day in New Orleans? Huh? Raphael, I certainly want to thank you. I think this is great. I really do. And I want to thank all of our law enforcement officers, everybody who works in the criminal justice system, and especially your families and your friends who sacrifice so much to let you do a profession that you choose. Greg, I appreciate it. I want to do one thing before I start. There is consistently a question that is asked of me. How is it, or what do you think we're doing in New Orleans now? How did you come up with this plan? How did the concept of Troop NOLA, why is it working today? How did it not work before? And so I want to clear the air, because I think it's really important. Because it has to do with one gentleman who's no longer with us, who sadly is going to be greatly missed in this city. But it's another gentleman who's here with us today. But in 2016, when I became elected as Attorney General, I was asked to come and help the city of New Orleans. I had consistently said that I believed that we were getting ready to experience a crime epidemic the likes of which we hadn't seen since the early 90s, when I was a sheriff's officer back then. And Shane Guidry and I went to Joe Yeager's office. Shane, you remember that? And we sat down with Joe and a number of stakeholders, and Joe pulled out a map of the city. And he says, we've got to bring the state police back here in the CDC. And he had it all drawn out. Those of y'all that know Joe. And I remember Shane looking at the map. He says, well, Joe, if the state police stay just right here, we're going to push the criminal element out into this neighborhood, in this neighborhood, in this neighborhood. He said, and all we do is push them out, and those people in those neighborhoods deserve safety too. And it was like a wow moment. And I realized that, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, Joe, the limited amount I could do as Attorney General, which was not much, but what I said, we'll give you whatever offices we can. We'll work with whatever federal partners you want to put us with. We'll work with NOPD. We'll work with the sheriff's office, whoever. And I said, but if we come, those under my watch would not come to this city unless we are here to protect the entire city. And so when I became governor, when you gave me an opportunity to lead this state, that is the philosophy that we brought to this city. This city is going to be safe from one end of the border to the other. And the message is that it does not matter the size of your wallet, you deserve safety too. And when you give citizens that message, they respond. And I think you see that. You know, and of course, I again want to acknowledge and thank all of the recipients of the awards, the state policemen that are here, part of Troop NOLA, the NOPD officers who have been so great to work with us, all of the other different law enforcement officers, the sheriffs who have all come around and helped us. You know, and oftentimes I explain the criminal justice system as a three-legged stool, with one leg being law enforcement, because some people think criminal justice is only the police. But no, it's only one leg, and then you have prosecutors, and then you have the judges. So each one of those legs represents a portion of the criminal justice system. And we all know too well, especially in this city, that sitting on a bar stool with a broken leg doesn't work all that well, right? It's nearly impossible, which I think highlights the importance of ensuring that each leg of the stool is as solid as the other. And so as we began this term, as we began this year, the stool in this city was broken completely. Barely a stool. We had to pick it back up. But we set a course to fixing it. And honestly, it is like shockingly and amazing how far we've come in such a short period of time. How the citizens of this city, as I move around this city, have actually taken note and with much appreciation. But I want you to know we have much more to do. We have much more that is required of us so that the peace that we are seeing today is permanent and everlasting. And you know, not all of our legs on the stool as solid as we like them, and that's why we have to continue to work. And often, as I come into the city and I walk around the city, travel around the city, I'm greeted by just everyday citizens. And it consistently amazes me. And Sharon will tell you, they'll come to and they'll bring you real close and they'll say, thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And I got to tell you, honestly, I feel guilty. I really do. I feel guilty. Because quite frankly, I don't believe that I deserve any thanks. I believe that the thanks belongs to all of those people who have been helping us do that. Because all I did was my job. As Sharon tells me all the time, don't complain. It's what you chose to do. Just like the great law enforcement officers out there who have chosen that profession. And so the response I give them shocks them. I tell them, no, don't thank me. Let me take one moment as the governor of the state of Louisiana, to thank you. And they just kind of look at you. Why do you want to thank me? Why? Because you have entrusted me as a public servant to serve you. And that's the response that I give them each and every day. And while we're here today to recognize those professionals inside the criminal justice system who are working to keep us safe, and they deserve much needed recognition and thanks, because a lot of them perform a very dangerous job standing on that thin blue line protecting us from those that want to do us harm. But remember something. They're doing a job that they chose. And so as I was preparing, I was trying to figure out how I was going to couch my remarks. And Greg and I, as he said earlier, we just traveled to Korea. So if you haven't been to Korea, it's a long flight. So I had a lot to do. And so in between working, I decided to watch some shows, and I was watching a documentary on Teddy Roosevelt. And Teddy Roosevelt once said that it is not the critic who counts, but the credit belongs to the man in the arena. And so today, while we thank those who have chosen the profession of working inside of our criminal justice system, and I appreciate that as well, there are a group of people here today that deserve some credit, and they're with us. And I want to personally recognize them and thank them, because they did not choose to participate in the criminal justice system. They were thrust into it by the actions of criminals and those who failed to uphold their duty. And unfortunately, without their resolve, without their courage, without their determination, in the face of a lot of criticism, I do not believe that we would be enjoying the bit of peace that we are seeing today. And we lament on that peace. And as we work on continuing and ensuring that that peace is permanent, because this city deserves that peace. And I'm going to tell you something else. It doesn't just deserve this peace because of the city. It deserves this peace to give it to the entire state. Because when this city is at peace, it is much easier for the rest of the state to be at peace as well. And so they chose not only to take up their civic responsibility, but those of countless other faces of victims of crime. Now, I want to tell you who they are. They Miss Elizabeth Hansard, whose son Noah was robbed and shot in New Orleans by a juvenile. It was Dr. Patrick Dennis, who was held at gunpoint by a juvenile here in the city. It's Miss Sherilyn Price, whose son Brandon Boogie B was shot and killed in a grocery store parking lot. It was Miss Jana and Jalen Blount. I see y'all with the babies, whose mother Cassandra was murdered in the parking lot outside of her New Orleans apartment. It's Miss Jenny Lee Griffin, whose sister Linda Fricky was killed in New Orleans on a carjacking. It was Ms. Nadia Sanchez, whose mother Jeanette was robbed in the city and shot by a 13-year-old. It was Ms. Dana Burton, who was shot and whose son H.M. was killed in New Orleans by a man who murdered another person just days earlier. And then, of course, it was my good friend Ms. Laura Rodriguez, who fought for crime victims each and every day in the city, and other countless victims assistance coordinators who are helping victims navigate the very complex system, which is our criminal justice system. Each one of these citizens has stood up to the demand that the rights that are vested in our Constitution, in our state Constitution, it says that any person who is a victim of crime shall be treated with fairness and dignity and respect, and shall be informed of their rights. And you know, sometimes when our government and our system fails us, it becomes incumbent upon our citizens to stand up. For that is how this nation was founded, I would remind you. For our citizens to stand up and say, something is not right. Our system is broken. Because we all know that we have great men and women who bravely work inside of that system. And that's what they did. Each of them showed exceptional courage and resilience by appearing before the legislature to tell their stories and their grievances. Each one of them has shown a willingness to speak up and bring vital awareness to the impact of crime on our families and our communities. Each one of them has called to task our lawmakers. They've even called to task their governor.
Okay, folks, we're going to have to break away from the Metropolitan Crime Commission Excellence in Law Enforcement Annual Awards Luncheon. We will be right back after the break. Stay with us.